Hey, hang on, let me just make a little date today. It's the 29th of 4 April, Maxim. This is Joan Shenstrom asking me if I smoke. I don't very often, but I don't mind.
I'm not
doing
insult to
what he is. No. Okay, she just mentioned her book Positively False, the manuscript of which has gone to the TypeScript or computer script that has gone off to the publisher.
Are you
got
the microphone near you enough?
No, I think that's alright.
Yeah.
Ellison has a tough cookie, and you were there the day he walked in at Duisberg to have. He was interviewing Duisberg to see if Duisberg was good enough.
To be his
station, which was, yeah.
To be his PhD
supervisor.
Yes.
He was there for 5 years. Apart from a brief excursion into
Professor Harry Rubin was there then, and still probably is, the big boss at Stanley Lab in Berkeley.
What is Stanley Lab?
That is where Duisberg's labs are. Is that working?
Hello?
Yeah, I think so. Just checking. Sometimes these damn things don't turn.
Is it working? Yeah.
I think so.
Sure. Take it back.
That was great. Okay, you've just asked me who I am. I'm explaining that my secret weapon is Hillman. That's all.
You plug that back in?
Yeah. Should be a red light somewhere.
Is it on?
As I say, Hillman has spent years on opposing the establishment medically.
Yeah.
But not with AIDS. I mean, he was very conventional on AIDS until about a couple of weeks ago, which is when, I took to speak to Neville Hodgkinson.
Mm.
It's rather surprising, actually. In fact, I hadn't realised how he thinks in terms of things like theses, His first impulse was, right, we'll design some experiments. Well, this one is a sort of long one, so I'll make this a PhD thesis. So he's happily designing things that will take 3 years or something. And you've got a people like 200,000 people being poisoned a year or something.
But he's right, though, because just yesterday we were discussing with Hector. Do you want to shut the door?
Yeah.
We were discussing with Hector Simpson Gildemeister, who worked with me.
Double-barreled name?
Yeah. He's Hector Simpson, but he was born Hector Gildemeister in Germany. He's a biochemist who was at Oxford.
Oh, well, how about Oxford?
Right.
Still, or is he?
Yeah, I mean, no. But he's worked in this office, really, with me for 5 years.
Do you know if he specialised in any particular aspect of because biochemistry appears to be a big subject?
No, and he hasn't been a practising biochemist since he was at Oxford.
Right.
He's just trained as one, so very important to me when we were going making all these films.
You joke about, who wrote Hitchhiker's Guide? Somebody, Adams. The trick for being a successful author is you have to have a short surname, so it can be big on the... Simpson.
But wait, go back to this business of research. Gordon Stewart was here last week.
Oh, the epidemiologist.
I
was going to want to talk to him as well. I did stats.
Go to Bristol,
subjects.
He'd love to talk to you. Oh! And he's got an assistant that he works with at Newcastle University, who's a statistician.
Okay.
And that, he's wonderful, the two. You should see both.
What's the word? Symbiotically,
they do, and they. I've having just finished the book, I've just had the a chapter with Gordon's statistics in it, and I have to have them double checked by him. But we've lived with Gordon trying to get those published ever since 1989. Do you realise it's going to be? It's 10 years. 9 years. And
really,
no one.
He submitted them to all the journals.
All the right people, because. But no one would publish them until eventually somebody did, but after the prediction had come true. So he had to then prove that he had actually projected the correct figures.
I remember looking through like kind of computer stuff on Brian Ellison. He mentioned people called Fars Law.
We've got Fars Law in there. This is the AIDS archive, the 10 years. Full.
See, you're about Chomsky, and said, here are some of Chomsky's files, and it's a kind of great wall of things like this.
Yeah, there's one more, which is the book one, which is at my house, so there's five of those full, and this is the tape archive.
What's that? You've really, you've got to tell.
I know I shouldn't really hold on to it like this, but...
No, for one thing, people can't believe what happened, you know, what's happened after the event, can they? I've got a collection of things up, you know, Masters and Johnson wrote a book on AIDS.
No.
I found it was a throw, you know, like libraries check out books now. Well, I sell them for 50 years. I haven't realised it was one of these alarmist things about how people are not changing their sexual habits. About 10 years ago. So they're going on the act as well. I've got a little collection of alarmist
literature. You know, Hector is collecting literature on how we have not... You know this thing about corruption in Vietnam that you said you came across? Hector now says that we've hardly ever got it right in medicine, and that AIDS is but one of a whole history of huge mistakes. For example, all those years that TB was said to, you know, everybody cut everybody's lungs out until a white fluid in the thigh. Yes. And they cut half my father's lung out unnecessarily. And his whole career was...
Is this chap...
Hector is very, very unreliable in many ways, but he's a thinker, an original thinker. When I say unreliable, he's an academic. He has a tremendously good brain. And he's the one who found Stefan Lanka, because Stefan Lanka came to Hector, because he's German, and asked Hector to translate his first paper.
Is Hector in Germany now?
He's up the road. I have my office in his flat.
Is it possible to talk to him sometime?
Yes, he'd love to. He's doing a lot of work into the fact that into the whole cancer situation, really. That is totally absorbed.
Yes, I've been into cancer as well. I spoke to a chap called Hewitt who was exposed to the kind of myth of cancer immunology. All these weirdo theories coming. Unfortunately, he wasn't very satisfactory, really. I was also interested in this idea that people like Isaac had, you know, that if you're cheerful and vegetable, then you don't get lung cancer.
Well, Hector seems to think that there's quite a lot in the brain aspect of it.
It's hard to tell, but this chap I've been through is a notorious kind of radical one. Cancer just dismisses this big crap when you dismiss it.
He dismisses he's a radical.
Yeah, that's right, so you do get this kind of thing, which it's very difficult to deal with.
One last thing, so you know the history. I mean, because I will be talking about these people all the time if you ask me questions. Jad Adams and I employed him onto our first series, which was about injury from prescribed drugs, in 86, and it was called Kill or Cure.
Why did you employ him?
Because he was
historian.
A researcher.
And I did ask him that.
No, he's a TV researcher.
History degree as well.
But it helps.
I did ask him how he had the goal or self-confidence. I'm sure he got it right.
He wanted a job in television. He'd been working on Panorama on the P2 story, the man who was found hanging under Blackfriars Bridge.
Oh, really? Yes.
And we came from the same background of investigative journalism in inverted commas.
He wrote a thing also about insurance fraud, didn't he? I remember seeing a copy of it.
Yes.
What's his name? Hewitt.
Yes.
He also told me, I spoke to him on the phone, he told me it's a shame this book only sold 2,000 copies.
I know.
Paper
well, he wrote it in our office, I don't know how. Wrote the whole book at the desk next to me.
It's cool, because I had to order it through the public library to get hold of a copy, and it took 8 to 8 ages, and it had this kind of festooned with stamps, and it had been taken out very often. So I was surprised it had been reprinted.
I know, isn't it sad? And it will be, one day, wanted greatly. But when it isn't reprinted, does it mean it can never be reprinted?
Oh, no. It's just that people would presumably consider it out of date.
Yeah.
To put a new preface or something.
Well, anyway, he came to us and we worked for the first 5 years of Meditel on stories about the pharmaceutical industry, about Eraldin, the heart drug that killed all these people, about Enteroviacom that killed all the Japanese. I'd already been working on that for 5 years.
Yeah, and Smon did it.
Yes, I did 2 programmes for Thames and 1 for Channel 4. 3 programmes on Smon I did in the 70s.
Did you ever do the mercury poisoning thing on
that? No, I didn't.
Taking water or something.
No, I wish I had.
Another thing, wasn't it? It's sort of environmental stuff. Vitamins, sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is it? Can you tell me something about the economics of this? I know about the economics of publishing, having done books myself. Except on the last, you know, things like publishing the Radio Times or Reader's Digest, which hardly counts as publishing. And I know about books.
What sort of economics? Of what?
How much it costs to make
a film. Well, a 1 hour peak, a 45 minute peak time current affairs documentary, flagship series, like World in Action or Dispatches.
Yeah.
UK shoot these days would cost £80,000 to £100,000, and foreign shoot £130,000 to £150,000.
How does that break down amongst the amount of manpower? That could cost an interview to people, but they're not charged.
We always paid everybody a basic fee, but we were unusual. I always gave everyone £30 and then later £50, and that was in the budget.
That's not a major budget, yeah.
Oh, no. Filming's terribly expensive.
Why is it expensive?
Well, it's thousands of pounds a day.
Yeah, but surely these days you've got...
No, well, you can't
use video stuff.
No, we have to have a...
We
used to have a six-man crew initially, then four-man, then three-man, then two-man. And now it's two-man, woman.
Is that because of improvements in
the crew? Plus me, the director.
You tell them what to say to
me. I have to have a proper professional beta cameraman and a sound man. And the cameraman now does the lights. In the old days we used to take a lighting man.
The sparks, isn't it?
And then so when we travel, we're usually four. The production manager, like we did AIDS in Africa, with four. And that was damn hard. I mean, we went to six countries twice over.
We come back with a load of exposed film which has to be processed.
No, we did beta on that, which was tape.
Mostly,
usually
yeah.
1:10 ratio.
Well, they're quite easy to... Are
they
cheaper than they used to be?
What?
Beta. Well,
But you've got to pay for all the transfer costs onto VHS and the editing costs. It's £3,000 a day to edit. I mean, you really ought to see a budget. Should I show you a budget?
Oh, it doesn't really matter.
It's a 49-page budget there that I've got for our forthcoming dispatches? Question mark. I mean, fingers crossed.
It's just your overview. Is it speculative? Do you have to put the money? Do you have to produce something up front?
No, you know. Yeah. Channel 4.
I mean, do they read the script and so on? And then kind of check the general impression.
The story is that for our forthcoming documentary, which I hope on May the 14th Channel 4 will finally give us, I have spent £5,000 of mine and Meditel's money, and Channel 4 has already spent £15,000 in development research.
Mm.
That will be £20,000 already spent, and we're still not commissioned.
Can you tell me why
it's about the HIV test?
Yeah, I just wonder why it wasn't. Programs like Dispatch never had Radio Times, never tells what it's about.
Because they don't know when they're going to schedule it far enough in advance.
Well, the thing's only printed the week before.
Do you know,
that seems absolutely ridiculous.
It's one of the few programs that doesn't tell you now, because even weeklies do. In the old days, we never could, on a weekly cycle, say what subject was.
Mm.
And Dispatches doesn't, because Dave's very...
Look at the court in what it's likely to be, or something. It just seems absurd, because you must lose huge amounts of audience, I thought.
Because
I never watched the bloody thing, because
it's a very good point. You know, when I see him next, I'll say, David, why don't you just slip in what it's going to be? But he'll say, we don't know until the day before, we're current affairs.
But there must be a choice, there can't be more than seven, two or three.
No, there's one on the shelf, the emergency one, and then there'll be legal problems and possible injunctions on the one they're doing, up to the last minute.
Listen.
Which is what we have.
What about kind of repeat sales and all this kind of stuff? What do you get?
Nothing. Virtually nothing. It's the icing on the cake. You can't rely on it.
What are you saying? Like, unlike beach reports and things,
You might get £300 for a repeat in Sweden. Or you might get £1,000 for one in America, and that's all. If you're lucky.
That would hardly cover the cost of selling it, really.
Well, it's distributed by Jane Balfour Films. She tries to sell them all over the world, but I only get, after all costs have gone, 70% goes to Channel 25% of gross goes to her. Then of what's left, Channel 4 gets 70% and I get 30.
Yes,
do you want another cigarette?
No.
Since I'm chains working at the moment.
Can I ask you how Channel 4 fork out for these things?
For what?
What
I just said? I'll show you the budget. It's an enormously high sum, but you must see how it's broken down. You will see. It's enormous. Because there's a pre-production, there's all this unpaid research time. Look, I'm researching every day towards that programme and have for 18 months.
Yeah.
Every day I have done a further piece of research about it. I'm either phoning Eleni Eliopoulos, or Professor Hesse, or Stefan, or I'm phoning John Lauritsen, or Celia, or somebody to double-check something.
Intricate network of... I don't recognise all these people. What do you think of that? How about the video that suddenly surfaced that Neville showed? The 2-hour one? Was that?
Yeah.
That's a low budget one.
That is. But you see, it's never been aired. And he would like continuing to distribute it.
How do you do that?
It can. Through continuum, yeah.
Well, I mean, is that shown on TV?
No. You won't get that. Of course. David Lloyd's the only guy that's ever shown any, except Sky News, any of our stuff in 10 years. I've been to Panorama 11 times. I've been to the BBC. I've been to every commissioning editor in Channel 4. I've been to World in Action. I've been to every single commissioning editor in the land at least 11 times each in my subject. And the only person that we've commissioned is David Lloyd and a woman at Sky News.
So you've got a very high position.
No, they say I've crossed the line. They say I'm now campaigning journalist, but I'm too committed. And I say, no, I happen to know more about the subject than anybody else. And they say, and I said campaigning journalism was a good word in my day when the Sunday Times actually exposed thalidomide.
I agree with you, that's what I was saying.
No, you're not allowed. You're not allowed.
What's the legal... Have you managed... Is there any kind of sense in the legal system about libel and so on? Or is it all kind of ad hoc thing designed to keep...
I don't understand the differences between our libel law and the American one, but I know that ours is worse in many respects, because we don't... I also don't understand the difference between libel and slander, so don't ask me. Hector knows it all.
Mm.
I've been through libel lawyers forever, though.
I just wondered, because, I mean, that's a very difficult issue, isn't it? This group of whistleblowers.
What are they called?
They're called Freedom to Care.
Really? No, I never knew about that.
About what?
That group.
Oh, do you want to know the information?
Yes, I do. I would.
Well, it's only a kind of small... It was started by a chap who's now it's most improbably named East London University, in Dagenham or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think he got into it through some kind of insurance, but kind of hard-selling insurance things, which you've got almost nothing about.
Right.
And several other people there. There's a chap... Well, you might be interested, there's a chap called Chaplin. By coincidence, I think most... Well, about half of them to do with medical stuff. There's a chap from Pembroke who's a GP called Van Steenis who's been campaigning against a power station that burns Orimulsion because it thinks it causes asthma in kids. He's a pretty nice boy.
Really? Oh God, you know, that might be a rich fund of stories for me. I'm trying to actually put stories up to keep Meditel alive.
Oh, good one. It's a chap called Chris Chapman from Leeds who was sacked. I'll email you my stuff if you like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to start writing it all down now. Will you?
You can if you want to, but
email it.
And this chap from Leeds was sacked. Well, he was.
Oh, Chapman, but Jad was going to write.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's one of the people who can't make he can't make a very concise case because he's got so legally tied up.
But Jad and I were going to make a programme about him. Jad said, let's do it.
Right,
and then it was turned down by everybody.
Was it?
Yeah. He researched it.
I suspect it's because it's not very. Can't get the point. You know, it got so tied up with layers and layers of legal stuff that you hear all that. Anyway, sorry about that.
But let me know.
And there's several others like that.
If you could, just give me a few lines on each. Is that difficult?
I like computer notes.
Because
my computer experience.
I've only just learned how to do it because Hector used to do it for me. See, my office has been in his house for 2 years.
Right.
I've only just moved here and it's wonderful.
Is it?
We used to have big offices.
It's a bit bleak, actually.
Oh, it's great. You can't imagine.
Yeah, you're in a little...
I'm thrilled. Look how organised I am.
You're in a kind of little room, wait.
Hmm.
I
have to I've only just unpacked these onto the shelf.
Benin?
We did cot desks as well not long ago.
I mean, you can't spell Benin.
I don't know. Benin, that should be one N, shouldn't it?
You can't. I was right. It's my idea. Yeah,
I did not write that.
It doesn't matter. I'll give you... Anyway, all I was saying was that they publish stuff, but they might probably do it back to front by not knowing the legal stuff first. I think they might not.
Oh, I could help them. I do know quite a lot about what they let through, because
there's a chap there called Martin Lunn, who was at Adam Brooks Hospital. They were doing research on schizophrenia, right? There's a chap there whose name he wouldn't tell me, he doesn't trust me. I was speaking to Hillman about it. A chap there who's who writes books on something called cognitive therapy, you know, so where you sort of chat to them and they're supposed to get better. Now some patients recover, respond to this, and some don't, because obviously schizophrenia is a kind of absurd mixed bag of...
Well, it's not really.
Happens, isn't it? Not really disease.
I've been trying to do a programme with survivors, speak out about that, called Does Schizophrenia Exist?
It's kind of interesting, because he was on this, he was doing research, he was doing a PhD or MSc or something, researching into this chap, and the course, it wasn't going particularly well, so this chap said, right, what we'll do is we'll... They've got a randomised selection of patients, so we'll get rid of this one who isn't responding, we'll have another one in instead, a more responsive one. This chap refused to do it, and, you know, just sort of things went worse and worse, and he eventually got sacked or paid off or something. So, and he says there's a whole lot of things like that happen.
I'd love to.
I'll
tell you why.
But whether he'll talk to you, I don't know.
There's a new series called Health Alert coming out on Channel 4. I've put 7 ideas in so far, and they've all been turned down.
Channel 4 will survive.
So if you've got some ideas, I want them for Health Alert.
I'd be interested in... Are you talking about sexual harassment issues?
No.
Oh.
I'll tell you why. Right, Celia Farber's just gone through 3 years of a sexual harassment case against her.
Against
and I've
her.
Heard it... yeah, because it was said that she only got her job on spin because Bob Guccione Jr. was her boyfriend. Right. And so she's been dragged through the courts for 3 years on that.
That's the son of the favourite.
Yeah.
Is that true? Is there
any
truth in that?
No, well, she was his boyfriend for 6 years. But a jealous girl in the magazine said that only people who slept with Guccione ever got jobs, and it's been an absolute nightmare, that case.
That's true.
He's nice. I like Bob Guccione. He's an AIDS dissident.
Is he?
And I've interviewed him on Diary of an AIDS Dissident, which you may never have seen.
I haven't.
You must.
Okay. What format are these things? I think it's VHS.
VHS, yeah. Have you seen any of our films?
I've got a horrible feeling I haven't actually.
Not one?
I may have done. I may have done.
The AIDS catches.
I'm so disillusioned with British TV. I just can't make
notes. Oh, but
you've got
to see our films if you're interested in the AIDS debate.
I was going to ask you, do you think Channel 4 will survive?
Yes, Channel 4 is doing terribly well and will continue. Oh, yeah.
Well, I just mean from the point of view of producing stuff which other people would like censored makes a good place. Come out of the limb.
No, it isn't. They need Channel 4.
That's true.
BBC's gone more and more conservative. And, no, it's fine. And, I mean, it might become less daring, but...
Right, well, I'll email
you
with this stuff. And Stuart as well, yeah.
Please. That would be great.
How can I come up? What's Stuart's... He's a professor of epidemiology at Bristol.
Professor Gordon Stuart is emeritus professor.
Emeritus, right.
And he lives... He's retired. He's in Bristol. He's...
Was
got a lot of time.
No,
his wife's working there. And funnily enough, his wife was in charge of AIDS for the Avon area, but then they fired her.
One patient or something.
She had no patients, and then they fired her because they didn't fire her, but they took that responsibility away from her. Partly, I'm sure, because they knew Gordon was an outspoken dissident. It's 0117-9736-532. And he has lots of time in the morning.
By the way, there's a chap, if I happen to get in touch with, by a woman called Fred Price, who's a homosexual biochemist. He taught at Buffalo College or something like that in New York.
Yeah.
For years and years, and he's just retired. He's 65 or 62 or something.
Yeah.
He's just found his partner he's with for 20 or 30 years. Died. And he's got some pictures. Anyway, I thought he might be useful. He's a bit hard to contact, unfortunately. You know, he's used to America, of course. He's been taught lecturing. He regards himself as British. He was kind of working class lad from Greenford. They've got a house here. I was trying to kind of bias him towards coming back to Britain by giving him a few contacts. Because the people there were talking about things like, you know, you get deluge and all this kind of highly dubious treatment stuff.
Yeah, I worry sometimes. It is often highly dubious, and this is why Duncan Campbell joined the Quackbusters. And this is why there's a case going now, Dickinson. I don't know whether it's...
Has he mellowed up at all?
Has he?
I suggest I'm kind of disappointed really, because I thought he was kind of clever guy.
Well, he was. He went in bananas. He tried. He called that murderers and gone over. I'm just getting something out for you. So those are the films we've made. Let me just see what else I've got here. Oh yeah, that's a Meditel background.
That's a CV,
and then
How do you get an independent producer? I mean, you're a producer, I suppose, to get hold of this. Well, I used to be a reporter and presenter on TV for about 20 years before I started this. And I read it in your...
What did he say? That's what Mick Jagger said, you didn't say anything. What did he say? Mick Jagger said, in every cast there's one child is a show-up. And that was me. I'm a show-up, yeah. Yeah, sure. Okay. So in 1987, the Empire Forces, 3 years later, the next one. Mm. Spread out with AZT. Did you get any flack from Welcome?
Yeah. Got everywhere, haven't they?
They threatened an injunction. They tried to destroy us in press because we were sent to the Broadcasting Complaints Commission by them. And they won.
They won?
Hmm? That we had been unfair in our treatment of the subject of AIDS. We were found guilty of being unfair in our treatment of the subject of AIDS.
Not specifically AZT?
On the individual counts, there was something to do with that we'd unfairly edited the film about AZT.
Yeah. Because they've got everywhere, haven't they? Whenever you go to a lecture at, say, the Institute of Neurology, they've got a Welcome lab, and maybe the Institute of Biology, where Dawkins to lecture at the Institute of Biology a few days ago, and is evolution progressive? And that was in the Welcome Theatre of the Royal Society.
Well, do you know James Lefanu, the journalist?
Did he? Was he in the Writers Guild at one stage? Lefanu.
That was his brother.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
That was his brother. His twin, actually, Mark.
Identical twin?
No. But James is very brilliant. We worked a lot with him on the cholesterol debate because he maintained, and we all did, that it was all nonsense, you know, to try and reduce the fat in the whole of the population's diet, which was a big thing to do with evangelical zeal. Of course, he was considered a heretic, and so were we, and our programme was banned, and I had to appeal to the IBA, blah, blah, blah. And James...
Never shown.
It was. Yes, the IBA passed it above Channel 4's head.
Is it all AIDS? So
no, those are not AIDS. Those are all everything else.
All right, relief for that. 1983. Kid or Kill in 1983. Did you know Skrbanek was
alive? No, but he was a great friend of James Lefanu's. Skrbanek, I used to call him.
Skrbanek.
He was, and Hex is always quoting him.
And he's been taken over by... And he was in Dublin, wasn't he?
Yeah.
McCormick, I think, the chap who used to work with him.
Yes.
Taking that.
I've got
a bibliography from...
He's wonderful.
I thought he was a bit over...
I thought he was right on just about everything, especially breast cancer.
Yeah, I thought he was... I only have to think about cervical cancer, wasn't he?
Yeah.
It's a nun's business. I thought he was a bit overpowering on... I think he was overcritical about... You know, when I read him, was that he was quite happy with things like smoking and drinking wine and eating a lot and things. Because it made you feel good, right? So that's a kind of placebo effect from my point of view. But if it was, if the placebo effect was delivered by somebody pretending to be a doctor, of course that annoyed him because it conflicted with him. But that was inconsistent. You know, and they thought, if you said to him, you know, drinking nice wine is just a placebo effect, you might as well drink, you know, pure absolute alcohol diluted out of it. Or you may just have protein pills, you'd be outraged. But I mean, it's exactly the same thing with the pseudo medical person, because presumably they make them feel good. So I was not confident.
Well, that was inconsistent indeed.
I hadn't seen that.
But you know, Hector always, he has this thought, which I think he's very right on, that if you have up to 40% placebo effect accepted by the orthodoxy in a double-blind placebo-controlled trial, then you have an insignificant percentage of benefit. Because if you apply the 40% to both the placebo group and the drug group, what you're left with, and I'm not a mathematician, is a meaningless difference in benefit in most of these studies. And actually, Andrew Herzheimer who was our advisor for many years. He's ex-editor of the Drug and Therapeutics Bulletin. Do you know about the DTB?
No.
20 years and it's still going. It's supposed to give you independent information about drugs when you never
have. Who was it published by?
Lancet or something. BMA?
No, the government now funds it.
Presumably they take...
We've got a big thing. Joe Collier is the editor now.
Well, you know, Dr. Mencher put in a yellow book, something for a side effect.
Yes, the yellow card. But it's more about whether a new drug coming out is any better than the existing ones, and that kind of consumer approach. And Andrew, he took Hector's poet on board because Andrew's now in charge of a foundation at Oxford, which is called, is it, the name escapes me, but you'd be interested in it, Damick, which is trying to make sense out of the number of double-blind placebo-controlled trials going on in the world.
Oh, they're doing a meta-analysis of it, that's cool, isn't it?
The Something Foundation, do you know the one I mean?
I do,
some
funny.
Yeah,
nice
they are in
so what they call a meta-analysis, or really good,
I think
great
so.
Piles of things. Mm. I think also, I mean, Bill put out this as a group that Royal Free and London do investigating. He thought they were being, without realising it, they were being quite radical. They were going through papers and things like the Lancet, finding all kinds of errors of them. They have little groups of people and they kind of really throw flack at these things. But from my point of view, I thought probably, you know, if you're in the mood to criticise the books, this is what people do, but if they're in that mode, they sort of critique. But normally people just kind of switch that off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's something that can be artificially generated. So I was not kind of interested. But that's quite an interesting point. I could, if you'd like a few information about that, I would very much like that. That's where I got this phrase meta-analysis from. The idea is you know, that all these indigestible papers, many of them written, in my view, not to be read.
Cochrane Foundation.
Cochrane.
The Cochrane Foundation.
Cochrane.
Is the one. Cochrane.
C-O-C-H-R-A.
Yeah. And I've got Andrew's number, should you be interested. But he's not involved in the AIDS debate at all. He's kept away from that.
Andrew, what's his name?
Herxheimer. H-E-R-X-H-E-I-M-E-R. He's a very radical pharmacologist who helped us right through the period when we were doing injury from prescribed drugs.
That's actually terrific. Mm. That's actually terrific because breathe us out. That's the only issue. Everyone has. Yeah, of course, there are also kind of.
Do you want his number?
Well, you can have that.
Yeah.
You know, there are all these philosophical things out there. Like the whole idea of a side effect is anthropomorphic, isn't it? It's an effect, it's not a side effect.
Oh, right. Yeah. Peter always says that. Don't call it side effects of AZT. Because it's an effect.
Exactly.
Mind you, Andrew can be very brief and short-tempered when he thinks people are waffling, so beware of him. Don't get put off just because he's...
How old is he?
Oh, he's 70 now.
Mm-hmm.
0181-346.
And he's still working at this point?
No. Yes.
Mm.
0181-346-5470.
It's not an Oxford number.
It used to be... it's North London.
Yeah. The Cochrane Foundation is in North London?
It's in Oxford. But that number's his home.
Yeah, it's in Oxford. And he's not raised, that's fair enough. It's only one subject, isn't it? That was the Hillman Institute. He had all these other subjects. He's also got a thing about brains, actually. He's done research into it. Chemotherapy is not understood.
Oh, fascinating.
But a completely new model.
God, you...
If I tell you, you'll probably have to be lunatic. So if I can't tell you. But there's an awful lot of more dubious stuff than you
Well, tell
possible.
Me, what? Why not?
Well, okay, well, I mean, one of his things is microscopy. And he thinks that the electron microscope, as he kind of thinks it as, is a source of all kinds of red herrings
and
deceptions. So, but I mean, he's fluent in the...
Wonderful!
Microscopes.
Oh God, we've got to have another meeting, a longer one, with Hillman and with Hector, because I keep on talking about Hector, but he's talking about these things every day to me, and I keep on saying, Hector, I can't. I've got to get on with my work. Hello, Lady Chow. It's now 5. It'll be in about half an hour, 45 minutes. Okay, bye.
What time do you say?
Oh, you know, I have a meeting to go to tonight, but okay. I was going to go home first, but I don't know. I'll work.
I want to go and teach my son some maths.
What's he doing?
Well, A-levels.
I've got two of
them, one's going to be more than Apple GCSEs. And why Birkbeck? Well, Birkbeck, well, in fact, I'm not going to go because they've got an evening session. I saw a note on the wall saying that you can have a walk-in maths assistant.
Really?
So I'd show him what a department is like. Possibly put him off, really. I did a maths degree.
Did you? You said you were statistics.
Dreadfully dull and pointless subject, in my view. You never get an overview. It's one of the most unusual subjects, in my view. They never tell you what you're sent to for. It's like doing crossword puzzles.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's why I'm here, because I'm going up there. He must be a helmet here, but he is, be warned, somewhat of a waffler.
But Hector's a waffler. I insist that we have Hector at this meeting.
A super waffly meeting.
Totally, they will go on and on and on, but we can control them. Oh yes, I've always been told I'm a control freak.
That's
but people need it sometimes.
I lash him.
Yeah.
I lose my temper actually. Anyway, can you give me Hector's... What's his name again?
It's Hector Simpson, Gildermeister. And this is the kind of thing he loves because he hasn't got enough people to talk to about all these things going on in his head.
What's the one sentence summary of what he does?
He helps me. No,
he's a
He's a thinker.
Biochemist.
And he helps meditate.
Biologist.
Biochemist.
He's survived at other times.
And there's another man.
Does he mind that being known?
But he helps meditate. No, he's in and out of here every day.
I just wondered if you mentioned Hilmer's name, then you're a crank because he's been in Nations on an unfavourable review.
Duncan again.
Maddox. I really like Maddox.
Not Graham Maddox. He's treated Duesberg so badly over the years.
What about the new editor?
I don't know him.
I mean, judging from... Do you ever read Nature?
Not anymore.
No, it's unreadable.
I mean, I've just referred to it recently because of the articles by Weiss and Jaffe about Duesberg, about Cox Postulates.
I got from Ellison's books about Darwin and Wallace, which was struggling on that earlier. I'm sure he's right about that, but he also mentions the business of Bayshon being ripped off by Pasteur, that looks unlikely. But
that's Hector again, there's a book, he's read it.
Because that seems, on the face of it, seems unlikely, but Bayshon is supposed to believe that bacteria caused by disease.
You read the book. I cannot speak on that, but there's someone else who's read the book, and this is someone I've been wanting to mention, Michael Vermeer Elliott. Does that ring a bell? Because Michael, Hector and I are the trio that have kept Meditel going for the last 10 years when Jad left.
We've got two L's in Elliott.
Yeah, double L, double T. Yeah. And he lives very near here, and he's totally brilliant. I mean, he has a brain... And he used to argue with Duesberg on virology when Michael wasn't even trained as a virologist, but you know that, you can get... And he's written several pieces for Continuum.
You're saying he has virological
Absolute fascination.
Virology.
Absolutely...
I want to speak to a virologist. Problems identifying this thing.
Yes, well you can read him. You can ring him now. He's at home.
I've got to screw up my courage. Give me his phone number.
It's 0171.
Yeah.
278-5322. No, but we've lived in each other's pockets. Can you imagine that? Like you and I mean, how often do you see Hillman?
I think fairly often. Yeah.
Well, we saw each other every day, every day, and all these articles.
Queen bee in control of this.
That's the old parliamentary group on the Bologna conference. We've been paid to go to all these conferences around the world now. That was our book. That was our complaint. Yeah. I mean, and so on. And this doesn't even have my book research file. Every day. I mean, it's almost, well, it's an obsession.
Is he mainly to AIDS? Or is he into other things as well?
AIDS, but no, now he's taken up the cancer thing and he's just reading all the time about the massive botch up about cancer.
That's very good. Hilar cells, is that still going on, do you know? Because I was speaking to Hewitt.
It's still going on,
Was it?
It's still alive, the Hilar cells.
No, I mean, are they still selling cells which are believed to be other things?
Oh, Oh, I didn't know there was.
Yeah, not for years. You know, you find cells from the...
And they weren't healer cells.
Do you like that? Do you want me to...
I want a nice scandal. That would be great.
Well, it's a long time ago.
But Pat, they just made a film about healer, the woman.
Yeah, there was a thing on TV. Yeah.
The other day.
But that was kind of sanitised to make it because the cells... It didn't mention the fact that lots of researchers wasted years and years on cells which they believed to be liver or something, but were in fact healer.
Oh,
right. That was the point of it. And when it was known about...
Oh, wow! I didn't know.
Well, years after it was known about, these companies still kept selling them.
I love it.
If you like, I mean, I can email you a whole book. I scanned an entire book.
Well, the only thing about that is, don't do that yet, because that I'm being very ruthless at the moment. I'm looking for 3 or 4 good medical science-based stories that I can put to Channel 4 to get a documentary made.
Right.
With you, I mean, obviously, if you
with
provide the story,
printer.
I should... Hmm?
Is it a laser printer?
Yes.
Yeah, so you can print it because we can print our books and
If, I mean, I don't want you to think I'm going to run away with this. If you want to work, if you want to work on it,
I've got no idea what
you bring
doing.
The idea. What do I do? Then you know what I do.
Well, I don't know what could I do.
Be the researcher of it. If you bring the story, it means you get paid.
When I scribble a script or something.
It means you actually, what you work out is a structure for the film.
Right.
And then you work out key interviewees, then key sequences. That's usually the director's job.
What's the sequence?
In the film, the sequences for the film. Have you ever seen an outline for a film?
I downloaded a few things. I never came to me, I just
don't. Well, I'm talking about a film outline, right?
Yeah.
But it first of all goes in a proposal for the documentary. Then there's an outline. And then you go out and shoot. But before you do that, you have to have every single medical paper surrounding what you're doing. So you spend hours and days and weeks in the library.
Mm.
You have a full-time researcher doing it.
Mm.
And then...
I see. What is it that you interleave between the interviewees? You mean the stuff
they have? Visuals. But that's the job of the director, really.
And that's not really that sequence?
That's a sequence.
Yeah. Are you supposed to specify that?
Yeah.
In Australia, you have to shot a kangaroo or something.
No, you just say cutaways. You say cutaways. But you don't write a script like that. Not for current affairs. But you do. I spend a lot of time working out how to make it visually alive.
I've seen a script for Horizon, which I downloaded.
Mm.
And it had all the words. And it made it look as though the interviewers were actually reading out stuff. How was that? Or do they construct it after the event? And they transcribe the words.
Yeah, look. Here's the Africa. It's in Africa. Script. Yeah? There's a script. This is actually an early script, isn't it?
Fabricated epidemic. If you want, it's 11 seconds, right? You cut off the 11 seconds.
This was the end, this was the final version. But that's done after it's gone out, because you're changing the words right to the last minute.
But you don't have to use words like fraud and corruption.
Fraud is very difficult to use. Yeah, you see, that's how it came out.
The death drums, payback. Could you get to do the voiceover? Do you have some kind of Andrew Sachs or something? Oh, it's you,
alright.
Sorry.
Look, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, since you're here. I've recently discovered that Michael had made me a compilation. He'd made me a compilation tape, and I didn't know I had them. Now, these are very precious, because they're not... are 5 dispatches, right? 8 The Unheard Voices, the 8th Catch, 8 Antico Person, 8 in Africa, and then these various...
What are you saying? So you've been to the whole thing?
All on one. So you can borrow that?
I'll bring it back, Is it possible for me to copy it?
Well, you'll get rather bad quality, but you can copy it.
Alright, fine. I'll just take off, lose it. When do you want it back? Surely you must have only got access to... video copying machine.
Are you crazy? We're completely and utterly broke. I am with an overdraft the size of a house.
Paris.
And until I see David Lloyd, I'm either going to have to declare myself insolvent, or if I get that program, we will survive.
So you
we haven't had a commission since...
You only said a commission keep going for a year. Mm-hmm. Nothing less than the truth.
One program will keep us for a year. And I haven't had a commission since I started writing the book, which is April 95.
He was a financial chap, unusually, because he takes a great deal of attention to his image, the very cultured voice, like cultured in the laboratory sense. Which kind of synthetic, and he speaks, you know, he speaks slowly and deliberately.
Yeah.
He did a very good talk on fatty acids and butter and stuff.
That's so how I know his name,
And he balances, he runs his own learned journal, called something like, it's called Medical Hypotheses. He deliberately puts in stuff, which is legit, because what happened with him was he investigated, he was a researcher, he was doing a PhD or something, he was researching into an antidepressant, something like Valium, and he found that it didn't cause cancer, but it was there, it kind of accelerated it.
Oh.
And I found that if you look in somebody's file, it appears, you know, that was referenced to it. And the manufacturer's not very impressed by this.
No, sure
they were. So he was kind of trodden on in some way. And I think that's why he became...
Outrageous.
The reason he manufactures evening clothes is because he has set up his own company.
And he's become a millionaire.
I don't know, it's hard to tell that. It was quite a bit. Then somebody else discovered that star flower contains a lot more. This linoleic aspirin.
Yeah.
Linoleic. Gamma linoleic. Right.
Quite.
Whatever. Anyway, this other plant has a lot more of it. So that's kind of somewhat scuppered in the
different.
I don't know. I don't pretend to confess to any detail. He's quite an enlightened employer, apparently. He used to employ people in unemployed areas to grow this stuff. Have you had a check of medical history? Have you not?
Yeah, I've just had this hip replaced again. I've been on two crutches for 5 months now.
Right. Oh, so you are ambulant and normal. In ATP, in biochemistry, you give this, there's a molecule ATP, which is supposed to generate energy in cells.
Mm.
It's always shown with a little swang dash, which is supposed to give energy, obviously, if you break this body energy, but there's all bollocks. And she discovered, she married, her husband was a chemist, and all the chemists think this is rubbish, but all the biochemists think it's wonderful, she spent years on this, and she's quite bitter about it. She says her hubby didn't get to the FRS because of this dispute.
Well, it's true! I'm sure it's true.
But she also has an animus against the medical profession for the extremely sound reason that she was given some medication which has to be monitored properly.
Mm.
It damaged her inner ear. They can do it properly. They get one. It damaged her inner ear, so she can't. She can't tell when she's upright. You know?
Well, I got lupus as a result of the drug cross reaction, and then massive corticosteroids became 3 stone heavier, and then all my bones started to crumble, and then I've had 3 replacements in 20 years, and that was called drug-induced systemic lupus erythematosus.
Yes.
So I am and then modern techniques in replacement surgery are what brought me back.
Did you have one of these ones, use experimental metals in...
Titanium and polyethylene, but I've now had a bone graft.
There was also a matter of the surface, wasn't it? They used to make them.
They were Teflon ones. Professor Charnley did 300 Teflon ones and they all failed. Poor thing. But Michael Freeman, who was my surgeon, was the innovator after Charnley. And he developed something called the double cut, and I had that. Well, I was a guinea pig for that. Gave me 7 good years. Then he gave me Freeman arthroplasty 1, and this is Freeman arthroplasty 2. But the big thing about my last op is that I had a bone graft instead of cement, because it's the cement technology that fails, because you start a toxic reaction, which the Japanese discovered recently in their research.
And where did they get the bone from?
2 old ladies replaced hips and knees were my donor.
It's rejected.
Brilliant. I've been watching the x-rays. Your own bone recognizes this other bone and goes zoom towards it. And it even crosses space to get there.
It doesn't get rejected.
Because you don't always reject a graft.
What's the bone is? I've been
trying
to influence them. I thought they always do. They have to use drugs for the rest of their lives.
especially checked at this point.
Oh, actually, this is very, very experimental and new.
It may be the bones you can get rid of. You can kind of rinse out all the cells and just have a kind of lump of mineral. Is that possible?
Yes, and then they must prepare it in a way so it becomes bone meal.
No, I mean, if you've got just a mineral, then that's inert, isn't it?
Yes.
Presumably. Or is it? If you reject that.
Well, they're doing it all at My Lent Hospital, this experimental work.
Well, I'm rejecting it, something.
No, I won't. No.
There's other things put on that subject, it's to do with autoimmune diseases, which there's a lot of, I think if you know, there's a lot of disputes about where they can actually exist, you know, on the grounds that if you have an autoimmune thing, if your body is attacking itself, it should continue.
New horizon,
It should attack a lot of it.
I didn't watch that programme, but I know that there's a big thing about that, and why does it stop? But actually, cortisone stopped it with me, because it stopped the inflammatory process. But then you suffer, you become a steroid patient, so we formed a group called the Steroid Action Aid Group, and
SAG.
I am president. Yes, and we have a thousand members, and there's about 70 different conditions involved, from asthma through to rheumatoid arthritis, through to Addison's disease, through to lupus.
I've been healthy most of my life. But.
And we meet regularly and discuss the effects of steroids and how to not take them. Thank goodness I don't take them anymore.
Yeah, but these are groups of huge costs.
Oh, yeah. Gatesville died of lupus. He did, because he was given the very early, very very raw cortisone, which had terrible effects.
For what reason?
Because it. For lupus.
Oh, is it? So I thought it was a cortisone.
No. So what do you do every day, apart from take your sons to lectures at Birkbeck? Well, do you know, Hector's unemployed too, and he does what you do, think all day, and Michael too. So I was very lucky because I had these two guys with brains like yours available to me.
Because you can have the brains like that, intelligence is a bit of a myth, really. And I go around talking to people, and I think, you know, I like to follow through all these sort of things just to see how interested in these. And it's Wallace Darwin country, which is very sad. You know, I put stuff on the internet, and you get this barrage of hostility back at this back then, actually.
Oh, yeah, they'll probably ban you from
the internet. Well, I don't know what they're talking about. It's irritating. You ask a question about Wallace, and it's right back and say, it's well established that Darwin's been questioning. That was,
Oh, well.
Neville, it doesn't matter.
Well, I took a year and a half to win Neville over. You know, he was ardently against.
Yeah, you told me that, yes. Yeah.
And he was lovely when he... Because we were the only ones, really. And when he started in the Sunday Times, I went with my heart beating on Saturday night at midnight to buy the paper. Because it was just the most wonderful thing that this was going to appear on the front page of the Sunday Times. Because we all felt like we were drowning, you know, no one would ever listen to us.
Right.
And then he really went for it, it was great. But before that, he was pretty offish with me, but little by little, and then on one issue, he suddenly decided...
Certainly the ground seems to be prepared for this. On good terms, he'd be about to scrub a neck.
Oh, yes, in his mind, but he wasn't convinced by Duisberg, and so he wouldn't do a story on it. And we'd given him an exclusive for our film, and he, at the last minute, said...
I did touch on his articles at the newspaper library, they've now got CDs.
Have you read the ones he wrote before he was converted?
Well, yes, they're just kind of ordinary, haven't
they? Well, they're just the same old run-of-the-mill scare stories.
Yeah.
No, but then...
How long have you been at this retreat for?
About 2 years.
How long?
Well, he used to visit it, but not live there.
I thought the impression was that he financially given the money in some way, and he was kind of recouping it. But I'm not doing any matters.
I have no idea.
That's one part. The other part was, I think he got divorced and sold a house or flat or something. And was kind of living off that.
Well, they do, they use him as their press and promotions person.
Who does?
The centre. He works for you.
Does he really?
Sure. Well, he said to me, I have a struggle trying to write the book when I know that I ought to also be doing this work they want me to do, which is to...
That's true, he doesn't try to bring a promoter type. He's very shy.
Yes, but I mean, depending on how you promote. It's just that he was asked to go and speak for them at different venues.
Strange outfit.
I know.
I think you should call it an advance rather than a retreat. It's a bad name. Do you know what I mean?
That's nice.
He's not a very good speaker. He works with him.
Is he not?
Well, it's like Hillman, actually. He wants to avoid, because he knows that if he says what he means, he's going to get flat.
Yeah.
So he kind of pussyfoots around it. And I think of that sort of chap in there.
Pity. Chris.
Chris, yeah, he went the same talk. I'd be almost said that three quarters, like 8/10 of people were there. But Soundface didn't get the message. Mm-hmm. You know, the subtitle of his book. Quite clear, you know, how the virus it never was to see the word, but I'm sure most people there
didn't get that.
Almost certainly.
No, we're not like that.
Well, it seems to be, yeah, I agree.
But we're not invited anymore. We used to be. You know, we went to Bologna, Barcelona, Buenos Aires, all the bees, and oh god, we went to five. Berlin. And these were great presentations, really. You know, there were dissident AIDS conferences. Amsterdam. We made a film in Amsterdam.
It's coincidental,
we have AIDS and things, working through. No, it's coincidental. But now, it's all gone flat. You know, nobody's...
Yeah, my girlfriend, one of her, she's a parent, she works for a company,
a little one that does research into drugs. And I saw one of their little leaflets that had AIDS in it, and it had a little footnote saying that there were some annoying people there, blood was thrown or something. It's completely... this is from the point of view of the marketing.
Very annoying.
But it's not unlike lots of other subjects.
Yeah.
But Chomsky, were they interesting?
I know nothing about Chomsky. I'm sorry. It's something I've just never come
to. I don't mean his linguistic stuff, which might say something a bit wasteful.
I don't know. I can't speak about that. But I'd like you to inquire further into Carl V. Schneider's thesis about Einstein.
What's his thesis?
About that he, Einstein, is wrong about the theory of relativity.
There was a big
who say that?
There's a lot of alternative physicists. I'm going to touch with some of them. That's a little big crap. Actually, I've got a very interesting chap. If I'm going to see him next week, something in the industry, he's working in Sellafield. He went to Oxford, that's Cambridge, and did a kind of first and or double first or something for physics and chemistry. He was taught by people like Dainton. He was kind of retained his ability to think. For example, he's got a good theory on superfluidity, superfluid helium. He could spend tens of millions of pounds researching this stuff. And he maintains it's just powder. You know, if you produce the temperature of the stuff enough, there's a phase, it goes from liquid and it goes kind of, you can see it's changed.
Right.
He thinks it's just a very fine kind of powder because helium is an inert gas. Okay? So that it kind of pours around the place in a funny way. So if you put it into a pot, like a plant pot, porous thing, it just kind of pours through. But these people think it's a liquid, they think it can climb up around the sides. So there are always people doing research into the funny properties of superfluidity. And he's got this ridiculously simple theory that he's trying to publicise for about 20 years. I'm sure he's right, actually.
Really?
It's a very... So that's... There's a whole lot of physicists, there's that one, there's particle physicists. There's a theory, there's a chap called Carlo Rubbia, who used to run CERN, who thinks that particle physics is a bunch of crap.
Oh, well, I mean, I have read.
Yeah, I'd love to. Obviously,
you
need to have a chat. Because, you see, like as with electron microscopy, you're dealing with things where one thing becomes very expensive, and it's also very difficult to interpret. Yeah. So you go on for years producing results from that.
It'd be wonderful to do a series on all these heretics, wouldn't it?
It's been tried in a half-hearted way. It might be worth it as a
or a 1-hour essay program. But you couldn't take it on board, it would be too bitty.
That's probably true. There have been ones like that. Hillman was in one about 10 years ago.
Yes.
It was very insulting. There was a voiceover at the end, dismissing him. He said, what are we to say at Harold Hillman? Well,
I've got that.
Anyway, so there are also, the trouble with Einstein is it's just so difficult and complicated.
Mm.
It's, that's a bit involved with that.
I think my personal view is that physics, maybe the important thing about physics is things like weaponry and arms and things, and all this stuff is window dressing to make it to distract people from some crap that's crap about the Big Bang. My view is a little different, you know, serious physics has to do with the structure of technology and things.
Right.
All this stuff is just kind of, it's like a church, you know, you get a few dimbos kind of arguing about the real presence or something, but the real business of the church is to keep people under and get money out of them.
Yeah.
So that's my analysis of physics, but unfortunately you need evidence for it, and all these dissidents are completely crap. They don't clog together, you know, they won't congregate together. You see, Hillman tried to arrange an international meeting, and he got quite a few people together, but they all thought their own subjects were the most important.
Oh, right.
So none of them...
Oh, did he? Try and get them together?
He founded an organization called the International Commission on Academic Freedom.
Oh, I think we should go. We should try again to do a series, an alternative science series. How about that?
It would be very nice. You have to watch out for the cranks, though, make sure it's strictly scientific. I mean, for example, Richard Milton is nice. He's very interested. I want to speak to him because my brother bought me a copy of his Darwin book, in which there are some quite good things. Mm. But he's also written a book on Forbidden Science, much of which is complete crap.
God, Hector would love to talk to you. He would love to talk to you. Do you want another tea?
That's okay with you.
I'm really thirsty. I'm really thirsty.